Your speaker is Claude Farr.
Tonight I want to talk about the real hypocrites. And the particular text that we'll be using is the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. And so if you'd like to follow along with the reading this evening, you can be turned at this time to the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus is speaking, and let me read beginning in verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And I want us at the outset tonight just kind of look at the different statements that Jesus made in these verses, and then we'll note how that could apply to us today. First of all, he starts out, verse 7, ye hypocrites. This was sort of a favorite saying, I guess, of Jesus. As you read through the Gospels, you see it over and over again. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He just kind of said that time and time again. I just glanced in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, and I counted seven times in that one chapter. And I think that's the place where it's found the most of any other chapter in the New Testament. But at least seven times there, Jesus is saying, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And that's what we have here in this text, just the last part of it. He refers to those people to whom he is speaking as being hypocrites. What exactly is a hypocrite? Well, the word originally, a hypocrite originally, was simply an actor. And an actor, of course, is someone who plays a part who is not his own. And the word, of course, had a good, legitimate use when it referred to an actor. But it came to have a moral meaning. And it meant not one who on the stage would act a part, and everybody knew that they were acting a part, but a person who in life would act a part which was not genuinely their own. In ancient times, the actors oftentimes wore masks to cover up really who they were. You couldn't even tell who the actor was, even if you knew him. And that was all just the idea of acting a part. And when Jesus uses this term to refer to the religious people of his day, he's simply saying that you're not really what you claim to be. You give off that you are religious, that you're interested in God and his servant, but in reality you're not. And so he calls them hypocrites. And then to further describe them, he uses a prophecy from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, if you want to find this particular reference in the Old Testament. And from this, he picks up about three things that Isaiah the prophet had said about the people of his day. And then Jesus applies them to these Pharisees to whom he's speaking. He says that they give lip service, but their heart is really not in their service to God. And you'll see this in the first part of verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. A just lip service. And you'll notice, as I read that, I read a little more than is in some of the newer translations. There's actually in the King James, there's an extra phrase in there. It's the same thing. It's just said twice. Once it mentions the mouth and the lips, and that's not in the newer translations, which are probably more correct. But what the King James Version has done is just really borrowed the complete quotation from back there in Isaiah chapter 29. But the meaning is the same, and that is that these people, they professed with their lips or with their mouth that they were serving God, but their heart was not really in that service. I remember a song has the words in it, which I guess many of you will remember. Everybody talking about heaven, ain't a going there? Maybe I'm giving off my age when I mention that, but that's an old song. At least I remember when I was a kid. And the idea is, you know, that is the mouth is saying, the lips are saying, this is the speech of a person, but their heart is not really there. And God is always has been very much interested in the heart. The prophet Joel said, rent your heart and not your garment. And what God was saying to his people then through the prophet Joel is simply that it's not that outward expression of renting the garment. That's okay, but that's not the real thing. What God is really interested in It's what's on the inside, the heart. Rent your heart, not your garment. And so Jesus, as he condemns these people, he's talking about them as a people who they profess religion, they talk religion, but their heart is far from God. And then as he continues this description of them, he says in the next verse, but in vain they do worship me. Worship, and I want to maybe just kind of talk about what worship is, because in our day and times, there's a lot of discussion about what worship is. And usually the way I say it when I'm trying to tell people what worship means in the Bible, worship means just what you think it means, what you've always thought it means. That's what worship is in the Bible. And I mentioned that because there are some new ideas out about worship. And when I heard these new ideas, I thought, well, I'll need to check those things out. So I did some pretty close research in the Bible use of the various words for worship. And after I got through, then my conclusion is, from a very careful looking at the different words, is that worship is worship, just as you've always thought it is. And that's what we're doing here tonight. That's worship. Now, having said that, let me go ahead, though, and give a little more explanation so we'll know where some other ideas come from. There are several different Greek words that are translated worship in our Bible. And the one that is translated worship the most often is the one that's found in John chapter 4, where Jesus speaks of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And that is the word that means worship, just as we have always conceived it, when we come together as a congregation and we offer our praise and adoration to God. Or you could do, of course, the same thing at home. But that's worship. Washing the dishes, or changing a baby's diaper, is service to God. But it's not worship, if you're using that particular word. There is, however, a word in the Greek language which is usually translated in the Bible service. But in some translations, it's translated worship in a place or two. For example, in the book of Romans chapter 12, when he talks about the King James says, present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. But some of the translations will translate that, which is your spiritual worship. And that's that word which really means service. And using that word, it is very broad. It's not talking about just what we do here or when we're specifically offering praise to God. But that word is, you could correctly say, all of life as a Christian. It's not the usual word for worship in the Bible, but in a translation or two where it is used, it does mean all of life. But now, having said that, the word that's used here in this particular text is even a third word. And it's a word that's not used that often in the New Testament, but it is a word that means worship, as we're doing tonight when we come together and we sing these hymns of praise. And Jesus says, though, of the worship of these people, but in vain they do worship me. That is, their worship was not acceptable to God at all. It was just a waste. God would not accept it. And then he says, and the last thing before we apply this, the last thing that we want to notice is, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And this is the crux of the whole passage. And these few verses are just kind of leading up to that. And that's what the whole context, and we'll notice that in just a minute, that's what the whole context is about. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's what Jesus is talking about here. That's what makes the worship vain. He says, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's what made their worship vain. The fact that they were following not the teachings of God, but the doctrines and the commandments of men. And that's what made their service to God simply lip service. You see, if their heart was really in it, instead of simply saying that they were serving God, if their heart was really in it, they would be following the teachings and commandments of God, not the doctrines and the commandments of men. And so it made their service to God simply lip service, not service from the heart. And that's what made them hypocrites. Because they gave off the idea that here we are, we're serving God. But they weren't really serving God at all. They were actually serving men as they followed the doctrines and the commandments of men. And this, of course, is what the discussion is, at least in the first half, this chapter in the book of Matthew. So we'll look back up. Look at verse 3. Jesus is speaking to these Pharisees. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? And then he says the same thing in verse 6, the last sentence in that verse. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. And in this context, there's a particular commandment under consideration. Jesus mentions that God has commanded, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. But they had a tradition of Corban, they called it, in which if they dedicated a certain amount to God, then they didn't have to spend that to take care of the elderly parents. And Jesus said, you found a loophole. Your tradition, your doctrines and the commandments of man, you found a loophole so that you don't have to keep the commandments of God. And so he emphasizes that, and he says it twice, that by their teachings, by their traditions, they had made void the commandments of God. Now what Jesus has said here is pretty strong language. And the disciples could see that. And so they came to Jesus about this, and let me read verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? The disciples thought Jesus was being a little bit too hard in his teaching, in his condemnation of them. And they seemed to be suggesting, maybe they had something else in mind, but it seems at least that they were suggesting that Jesus maybe ought to kind of tone it down. But that's not what Jesus did. In fact, in the next two verses, Jesus says the same thing, but he says it even stronger. He said in verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And of course, what he's talking about here is teachings, the doctrines and the commandments of man. And everyone that does not come from God, those things, he says, will be rooted up. And then further in verse 14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Again, censoring these Pharisees and their teaching. And then because there's so much in this part of the book of Matthew about doctrines, I want to look in the next chapter, chapter 16 and verse 6, and Jesus will again talk about the doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then Jesus said unto them, that is to his disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now when Jesus made that statement to the disciples, they were kind of puzzled about it. They were out traveling on over to the other side of the sea, and they started talking among themselves, you know, what does he mean, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And they decided that it's because we don't have any bread with us. And Jesus understood their thoughts, and he asked them, don't you remember the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000? And then after Jesus got through explaining that to them, then they understood what he meant by the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And verse 12 tells us what they understood. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And so I wanted just to look at that chapter 2 just to show the emphasis that Jesus gives on bewaring of trying to serve God by following the doctrines and the commandments of men. In fact, Jesus says in this text that we're looking at, there are the real hypocrites. Now, Jesus calls people hypocrites for other reasons in other passages. But in this passage, he calls these people hypocrites when they claim to be serving God, but in doing so, they were following the doctrines and the commandments of men. And then as I thought about this passage and application today, I just thought of maybe some ways that we might look at it. First of all, I'd like to talk a minute about our worship. There are some very basic things that the Scripture lays down that we do in worship. We sing, we pray, we have preaching, on Sunday we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we give of our means. And I won't bother to turn to all the passages that show that, because all of us who are here tonight, we know that those things are found in the Scriptures. And when we worship God in that way, then we're worshiping according to the teachings and the doctrines and the commandments of the Lord. And that's pleasing, and that's acceptable in His sight. Now, there's a great deal of variation and variety that we might use as we worship God in these very simple ways that He's presented to us. We can have three songs and a prayer, as it's sometimes stated that way. And when we assemble to worship and we have three songs and a prayer, then we're doing just what God has authorized. And that's worship acceptable to God. We could have three prayers and a song, though. And that would be just as acceptable in the sight of God, because we'd still be doing what God told us to do in worship. Or another way to talk about the variety and something that we see here, we can turn in our hymn books to one of those good old songs that I like and that I grew up with and enjoy singing, and we can sing one of those songs. And when we do that, we're doing exactly what God has said for us to do. We're worshiping Him, praising Him in song. Or we can turn in our songbook and we can sing one of that new kind of music, which I don't particularly care for, some of them at least. But we can sing that way and we can worship God just as genuinely and just as sincerely and just as acceptably using one of the new songs and the new music. It doesn't matter whether you use the song, and I like to kind of think of things like this. Trust and obey. You remember that old the old song that we sang it right into the ground? But when we sing it, we worship God properly. Or we can take the new song that I think we're replacing the old one with, and that is As the Deer. I love that song, but we're just about doing with it what we've done with Trust and Obey. We seem like we sing that so much. But whether we do or whether we pick another one, as long as we're singing praises to God genuinely, we're doing what God has said, and there's a great deal of variety and variation there, and all of it, of course, would be acceptable to God. A lot of different ways that we can take God's simple plan and change it around and rearrange it and still be doing exactly what God has said for us to do. And when we do that, our worship will be accepted. But then we could follow the doctrines and the commandments of men and bring in an instrument of music and begin to worship God that way. And when we do that, then we fall under the condemnation of this passage. We actually become hypocrites. And we might say that we're serving God. We might think that way, but our heart is not really in it. Because we're not doing it according to God. If our heart was right, we would be doing it according to God's teachings, not according to the teachings of men, if we brought an instrument in. There are other things that people sometimes like to do in worship that are not found in the Scriptures. And if we do those things, then it's not acceptable. Some of the things are just outrageous. Being slain in the Spirit. Have you ever seen? Maybe you've seen that on TV. They do that in some worship services. In their service, they will have a person will stand and someone will put their hands on them and the person will fall back and someone will catch them and they'll lay them out on the floor. They call that being slain in the Spirit. Others are taken by a laugh in the Spirit. Uncontrollable laughter. And this is in the service, in worship to God. Others are glued to the floor. They just can't get up. That's all done in the services. Or running back and forth across the platform and uttering what I suppose they would call an unknown tongue, utterances that cannot be understood. And there are many such things that in our modern world, people are doing those things, and they're doing them in their services of worship to God. And those things, of course, would come under the condemnation of this passage because they're not taught in the Scriptures. Those things are after the doctrines and the commandments of men. And we, of course, would always want to avoid them. Then when you think about these various ways of worshiping, jotted down some of the things that I hear people say about their ways of worship. Not necessarily about barking like a dog, which some do, but with the instrument of music and with certain the lighting of candles, the burning of incense, and things of this nature. People sometimes make these kind of statements. I jotted down a few of them. It's so spiritual. And another would be, it makes me, I hear sometimes people will tell me of things they do in worship that are not found in the Bible. Makes me feel so close to God. Another statement is, it moves me, or touches my heart, or uplifts me. And I'm sure you've heard other expressions, but I wanted to just mention those. To say that even if it does touch our heart or move us or make us feel close to God, that's not the criteria. The criteria is not how it makes us feel, but the criteria is what does God teach in His Word. And Jesus says that if we follow these doctrines and commandments of men, even if it does touch our hearts or make us feel close to God, that even so, Jesus says that that's hypocrisy That's lip service. That's not heart service. That's vain worship, and God will not. Then I wanted to mention also, as we kind of apply this, I want to talk about the plan of salvation. Usually when I mention it, I kind of summarize it by saying, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. That's just a summary. Don't have to say it exactly that way every time. Or you could quote various passages. It's put in different ways in the Scriptures. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16, verse 16. Or repent and be baptized in Acts 2, verse 38. And there are other Scriptures which you know. When we encourage people to become Christians, and we do so on the basis of that very simple plan of salvation that's laid down for us in the Scriptures, then we're doing it God's way. But when we deviate from it, and we call people to become Christians by praying the sinner's prayer, which essentially means that they're to confess that they're sinners, commit their life up to the Lord, and then in the prayer accept Him as their Savior. When we substitute that for the simple plan of salvation that God has given us in His Word, then we're following the doctrines and the commandments of men, and we come under the condemnation of this passage. You could apply this to sprinkling instead of immersion and many other different doctrines, but that will suffice. I want to say one last thing, and for some reason I started out with a headache when I got up here, and for some reason I'm not, I feel like I'm not coherent. I hope I'm coherent in talking, but my head was bothering me, and I took some Tylenol, and it's not going away like I had hoped that it would. But I do want to say one more thing, and then I'm going to stop. And that is concerning the Pharisees. They're condemned here. There's been an effort in the religious world to, obviously everybody condemns the Pharisees, but there's been an effort in the religious world to move the Pharisees into a position in which they were not. The usual idea that people have of why Jesus condemned the Pharisees was because they were so much a stickler for following God's law. And that's the one thing Jesus didn't condemn them for. Jesus condemned them for following the teachings and commandments of men, as in this passage. And Jesus commanded them for saying and not doing. And there are a lot of things that Jesus condemned the Pharisees for. But He never condemned them for really teaching and trying to keep God's law. In fact, this is the one time in which the people should have listened to the Pharisees. And in Matthew 25, Jesus mentions this, or Matthew 23. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not after their works, for they say and do not. Jesus is saying here that when they're sitting in Moses' seat, that is, when they're teaching Moses' law, you listen up and you follow it. Don't follow their works because they don't do what they preach. But He says when they're in they sit in Moses' seat, and when they're teaching Moses' law, you listen up and you do it. And anytime they emphasize keeping God's law, Jesus didn't condemn them for that. And He told His disciples that that's when you ought to be listening to them and following them. But in the passage that we looked at in Matthew 15, He's condemning them because they're not teaching the law of Moses, which they were supposed to have been teaching, but they rather are following the doctrines and the commandments of men. Might be if there's a person here tonight who is not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you need to believe, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of sins. If you'd like to do that tonight, you can come forward.